Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. For thus saith the Lord, it's not just every hour, but every moment, yea, every second. You were not designed for the world that you live in. I did not make you for this world. This is a world that sin has tainted. I did not make your body for sickness and disease. I did not create you to ever die, saith God. I did not create you to have a broken heart. Yea, saith God, I created you to live in the world that I made, not the world that sin disfigured horribly. But yea, saith God, even though you live in a fallen world, I promise to be with you, and I promise to never leave you and to never forsake you. Seek me in the deepest, darkest night, and I will reveal myself to you as your mighty Savior and Deliverer. And seek me when the sun is shining on the clearest day, and I will reveal myself unto you as the lover of your soul, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I want us to pray for that minister. Would you do that today? Because I know how he feels. I didn't have the diagnosis. I had simply the possibility of the diagnosis. And during that time, I went to a dentist office, and in that dentist office, on the wall, to show you how the devil will use fear against you, you'll see things you never saw before to promote fear. On the wall, there was a warning against chewing tobacco. And there was a man that was about, I don't know, looked to be in his 20s, that had cancer of the mouth because of chewing tobacco over in the corner of his mouth. He got cancer because the gum was irritated. It stayed irritated. Everyone doesn't. He did. And his whole face on this side was disfigured because of the cancer of the mouth. That imprinted in my mind. And I thought, boy, how the devil would love to strike me where God has anointed me most, and that is to preach the Word of God. And when I heard of this pastor, my heart and my love for the Lord, my appreciation, it was one of those clear, beautiful, wonderful days of victory for me. But I, with tears in my eyes and love in my heart, began to thank God and praise God and love the Lord on that clear day, because He indeed is the lover of my soul. Can you say amen? Heavenly Father, we just pray for this minister. We pray today because we know what he's facing. I know personally what he's feeling. And oh God, I know that even with faith in our heart, there are overwhelming circumstances. David said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. But Lord, when the fear is past, and when you deliver us from the enemy, help us to remember how much we need you and how much we love you, Father, and help us to seek you with the same passion, with the same sense of purpose, to never let up seeking our God, to not wait for fear to drive us, to let love draw us. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor, but we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Heal this man, Lord. We just praise you for it. Heal this man. Make him whole today. And Lord, let his mouth declare your greatness and your goodness. And everyone said amen and amen. How many know without a test you wouldn't have a testimony? Part of testimony is test. Hallelujah. Amen. So without the testing, there would be no testimonies. And I'm continuing to build my testimony because I'm continuing to be tested. Hallelujah. Anybody else out there experience any testing? The Bible calls it thelpsis, is the Greek word that Jesus used. For in this world you shall have tribulation. There will be pressure brought to bear, bringing anguish of soul many times. Those are the testings that we face in life. Temptation takes two forms. One is that lure to do evil, that sway of sin to pull us in, suck us in to do evil for the gratification of the flesh for a season. But there's another area of temptation that is not maybe as understood or appreciated or mentioned as much, and it's the area of persecution and testings. This is another area of temptation. And the Bible said that we're to literally let temptation have its perfect work, according to the book of James. Let patience have its perfect work by cooperating with the test and trusting God through it, instead of resisting it and asking why. Just trusting God. Amen? Just simply trusting God. I love James chapter 1 because it was written to people under the gun of a testing in the form of persecution. And the danger was that they would become discouraged in the Lord and question His faithfulness to them because of the testings they were going through. So James wrote them to encourage them to trust the Lord in the midst of their testings. And he said, "My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Amen. "Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Praise God. Hallelujah. This is testings help us to develop as Christians. My heart, no matter what God does in terms of blessing, I remember those valleys and how much I needed Him enough that I will not stand in independence and self-sufficiency when the blessings come. I'm going to seek the Lord humbly with my whole heart this day. And it's not because of a test in particular that's come to my life today. It's because that I know just how much I need Him, and I appreciate all that He's brought me through. Praise God. And I don't want to live a second without Him. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We've found that out, we who trust Him in the time of trouble. The righteous runneth into it and are saved. Praise God. And so we know how to run to Him in trouble. We need to learn how to come to Him every single day of our life with the same intensity of purpose to seek Him out and to seek His face. We'll do that. We need that for revival. We don't need trouble in America to bring revival. It didn't. We had trouble, and a bunch of people went to church. 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks after the 9/11 event, after people started breathing easier, we were holding our breath and say, what next and who next and where next? Is the next terrorist event going to take place? We felt vulnerable to our enemy. And Billy Graham walked before the United States congressmen and senators and the president. And as people gathered, and they declaring, calling the nation actually to prayer. And he usually quoted in times of trouble when there was a need for comfort from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But this time, Billy Graham stood in that assembly before they prayed, and he quoted Psalm 46:1, which said, "God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea." Amen. And people began to rally in prayer. Churches had an infusion of people for the first few weeks. But after there was the clear sign, after the threat was gone, then all those people, statistically, this happened. All those people that came to church went right back out into their daily living with little or no regard for God anymore. Once the trouble passed, then seeking God and the relevance of it was gone. Amen. Listen, folks, we shouldn't have to have trouble to drive us to God. We should be drawn, particularly as Christians, we should be drawn by His love. We shouldn't have to be shamed by a minister who quotes, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together," to get people into God's house. We should be like David, who said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go up to the house of the Lord." Why was he glad? Because he loved God. And he knew at the house of God he would be in proximity, amen, in the temple to God's presence. We can do more than be in proximity to His presence. We can literally come into His presence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Together, if we choose to. If we find the time in the busyness of our life. If we can... get past ourselves. Peter failed because he couldn't watch 1 hour. The tempter overcame him. With the best of intentions, he failed miserably because he did not watch and pray. The enemy seeks to sift you as well. And I urge you to watch and pray. For the hour is late. And time grows short. Seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near, saith the Spirit of God. I want us to pray today again. One more prayer. Without revival, the church in America, I don't care if there's 10,000 events on the agenda, and I don't care if it's a mega church full of people flowing with money, or a little church like ours, doesn't matter which one it is. Without revival, in the last days, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to fall into spiritual lethargy and compromise. There's absolutely no if, and, but, or maybe. People are going to find time and money for sports, for every kind of flesh-gratifying thing there is. The thing that's going to be really pressed upon people is finding time and finding the commitment to the Lord and His work before He comes. It's an amazing time to be living when the world has such sway over so many people who call themselves Christian. I was at a pastor's site last night. He was talking about another pastor that pastored a church of several thousand people. They had a deacon's meeting that had deacons and ushers. I think there was 57 of them served in that huge congregation. And he said only two showed up to the meeting. And then the pastor went on to lament all of the other areas that people showed a lack of commitment to the things of God, a commitment to fulfill a little office on Sunday morning and then go your way, make sure the service is over within a gnat's eyebrow of 12 o'clock and everybody seems to be happy with it. Amen. Entertain people with a choral group that comes on strong and a preacher that don't preach too long. And it seems like as long as there's a lot of social activities surrounding the church, then everything's going to be fine. We even got churches right now with Starbucks opening on the campus of the church in the mega churches because we want to accommodate people in terms of all the things that they may enjoy to keep them coming. It's an amazing thing that we commercialize gospel. We should be drawn by the cross, and I'm going to tell you, I just think McDonald's and Starbucks and all these other merchandising people, I think they ought to wait till church is over, and I think we could drive down the road in our SUV and pull in wherever we want to. Amen, and we wouldn't anyway. It's a crazy day, but God is a good God, and I don't know about you, but I appreciate Him this morning. I ain't no ways tired. I've come through too many valleys to look back now. I need Him every hour, every minute, every moment. Hallelujah. And I want to seek Him with the intensity that I sought Him with when I had a lesion on my tongue. And I want to praise Him with the intensity that I did when that lesion left my tongue. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Today, I want to seek Him that way because I love Him. And I know He's real, and I know how relevant He is to my personal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get excited about just being excited about what I'm excited about. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, it's exciting to serve the Lord. God has been good to me. I've been through many tests, and that's why I've got a testimony. Amen. A young lady wanted to talk with me at work and who went through a great trial. And I shared about a trial that I went through. It was so good to be able to tell her that about a trial that touched me in the same way it was touching her. And to tell her to cry out to God and to tell her, encourage her that God is faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah to them that seek Him. I got excited just telling her again, just rehearsing again what the Lord had done in my own life got me all excited. Amen. And I believe that's what the world needs to hear. They see unexcited people talking about the most exciting God in the universe. The only God, but so exciting to serve God. So exciting to see prayer answered. So exciting to get victory, praise God, over the enemy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what excited me also? That I didn't have to call long distance to get someone of faith and compassion to pray for me. I could come to just our faithful few and have them gather around me and have the prayer of faith offered and have God work a miracle in my own heart, my own life, my own mouth. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know what it was, but I know until prayer it wouldn't leave. After prayer it got up and left, so it really didn't matter what it was. Can you say amen? God made it leave. That's all. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we love you today. We're glad to be in God's house. We're glad that you're here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray it doesn't take another event in America to try to turn people toward the Lord. I pray it doesn't take another event in the lives of people that could be here this morning that are able-bodied and have the time but don't have the heart to be here. Amen. I pray that people that say they're saved will really get saved, because when you really get saved, you'll want to be in God's house. Can you say amen? A change does, in fact, come when you get saved. When you pray off conviction, you just feel better for a little while, but nothing really changes. But when you get saved, hallelujah, old things pass away. Everything becomes new. Praise God. One of the new things is that you have a brand new heart desire to seek the Lord. Amen. You want God. Amen. And something else, you have a desire for the Word of God. David said, thy words, or the Old Testament prophet of old said, thy words were found and I did eat them and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Isn't that incredible what God's Word can do for you? Well, we're going to move quickly into the Lord's Word. If you will seek me as I am calling you to seek me, in the day of trouble you will not have to run to me. You will not have to find that high tower where there is safety and security and peace. Yea, you will already be dwelling in it, saith the Lord. My protection and my provision is for those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Those who abide, saith the Lord. Not just those who come because of need and walk away unthankful and ungrateful after the need is met, but those that abide. Those that abide I can keep because I can cover them with my feathers and bring them to my bosom and hold them close. Yea, saith God, learn to abide in me, and let my word abide in you, and ask what you will, and it shall be given you, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. Amen and amen. Father, bless this offering. We receive it to your honor and your glory, and we thank you for everyone who is faithful to your work in Jesus. Amen. Thank you for giving today. Pray for WMAF. God is blessing the radio broadcast. As I told you last week, if you were not here to hear it, a testimony when people drive to a radio station, knock on the door and go in and thank them for carrying a broadcast, it is a highly unusual thing. I've been in media ministry before for years. It's just something that rarely ever happens to anyone. And for people to honor our ministry to that degree, we are very grateful. That means it's touching people's lives. Amen. For people to listen by computer in Virginia, and when lightning strikes the station, call upset because they couldn't hear the broadcast. They didn't want to miss one of them. then that's a good sign, because that's another thing that rarely ever happens. If you get one response, I was told one time by a station manager, the ratio used to be like 1 to 3,000 that you would ever hear from that is in your listening audience. So that's a pretty good sign after 6 months of just one day a week, not really saturation broadcasting. Easy to miss it when it's only one day a week. It's really good to know that God has given us a target audience, and He's given us favor, and the Lord is moving by His Spirit. And we ask you to keep that vision. We got all excited about it when God opened the door. Well, now we're passing through that door by faith, and keep the vision. Amen. And pray for us. You're part of that. Praise the Lord. We're part of that. And it's part of the what God is doing through the media and through His Word. There's a scripture in Psalm 107, verse 20. It said, God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. By the way, church, He didn't just send it to Madison, Florida, and to the nations of the world through the computer connection that we have there. But He sent it here this morning to you and to me. Can you say amen? So whatever your need is, He sent me to bring His Word to address that need. Praise God. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. He sent His Word. Well, when He sent me, He was sending His Word, because that's my, I don't have anything else. I can't sing like Lindell Cooley. I can't play like Mike Schutz. Amen. I can't do that. I wish I could. I can't beat the drums like Sean. I can't do it. I can beat them, but not like Sean. Amen. And mine is indeed sounding brass and tinkling cymbal if I start messing with it. Amen. I can't play a guitar like my son. I can't play a violin or a fiddle like my daddy. It's really not a violin to him. It's a fiddle. Can you say amen? That violin means long hair music, according to him. This is a fiddle that he picks up to play, and he still plays it. I can't do it. That talent jumped me somehow. My dad could play. My son can play. But it just jumped over me completely. I don't bring anything to this pulpit except an anointing to preach the Word of Almighty God. But I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God. He sent His Word. I'm talking about from the heart all the way out to the body. Praise God. And to what? To bring deliverance. To deliver them from their destructions. Praise God. So I want you to know today, when the Word of God comes forth, whatever it is that is hurt and broken in your life, amen, there's healing in this Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can you say amen? And when you put your faith in God, His deliverance can come to you. Praise the Lord. That's why it is so important to understand there's not just an anointing on me to preach. There's anointing on the Word that is preached. Praise God. It's holy seed. And if it gets in a good ground heart, it, the Word of God itself, will bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Praise God. Your faith can grow exceedingly according to the Word of God today. All dependent on how you receive God's Word into your life. You may think this is the most boring part of the service, but I'm going to tell you something. This is the part, amen, that is filled with such potential and power. Praise God. Amen. The waters are troubled for this. Brothers and sisters, come for a biopsy that is going to come back and say, this is nothing but scar tissue and there's nothing to worry about. Come and let's pray right now. Praise God. Let's do it right now. Those of you, everyone don't have to. I'm just asking for some brethren like they did for me. Amen. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Two of you on earth agree, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Praise God. Now, I ask for deliverance because I'm in need. I have a part of me that wants to be healed and wants to be well and wants that worry to go. Amen. But I also now call upon the Lord when I'm in need, because I want to see Him glorified in the answer. I want my test to turn to a testimony. I want what the enemy meant for evil to be turned around and used for good and my good and God's glory. Everybody say our good and God's glory. Amen. If the devil did try to afflict me, he miserably failed, because I know how to call upon the Lord. I know how to humble myself. I know how to seek His face. Can you say amen? And God is faithful. God is so faithful. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare Your faithfulness, that we may praise Your name and thereby spread Your fame. Let Your healing and help come to my sister. Father, we're waiting on a report, and let it be a good report in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this woman will praise You. She will praise You because she will not take it for granted. She will know that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this good thing. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for being with us. Thank You for Your promise, Father, to hear our cry. Thank You, Lord. We want to seek You, not just in the times of trouble, but every day of our life with all that we are and all that we have. Let Your healing flow today, and let the testimony rise up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now everybody just agree. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Father, we thank You today. We praise You today. Hallelujah. 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 God loves You today. Number two, just let it play. Number two, let's worship. Let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him. Before we go any further, I can always preach. It's time to just praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good that God loved us this much? God is in the healing business, in the delivering business. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nothing has changed except the church and the age. Jesus hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. He's the Lord God of Israel, and He changes not. And the Bible says, don't even meddle with them that are given to change. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Some things we're supposed to hold, not to be progressive in, but to hold on to in their original form. And the faith is one of those things. I want to talk to you just a few minutes, while we have a few minutes left, about understanding the times. A crucial message for people living in such a critical hour. It's important that we hear from the Lord in our generation. Amen? Vital that we hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, not what is in vogue at any given time, and not what is politically correct. We're finding out certain things in our society are acceptable, and certain things are unacceptable. And one of the unacceptable things is not just the racist slurs that has been in the news like this week, which is very, very wrong and is despicable, but one of the things that's becoming politically incorrect and socially unacceptable is to live for Jesus as the Bible teaches us to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Not just going to church or even calling yourself Christian, but to really begin to follow the teachings of Jesus and flesh them out and live them out in your life. As long as you're one of those people that are Christian in name only, the world don't like the fact that you identify with Him, but they can handle it as long as you don't really get serious about truly following Him. Can you say amen? But if you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, which the Bible didn't say just go get people saved. Amen. The Bible said, go and make disciples unto me out of every nation, teaching them to observe and to do whatsoever that I have commanded you. He was looking for people that would follow Him. Salvation brings with it a responsibility and an accountability, because the Bible said, once you accept this gift of salvation, you have been bought with a price and you are no longer your own. Can you say amen? God bought you. You belong to God, and you're supposed to give yourself away. Hallelujah. Amen. You're supposed to appreciate not going to hell enough to give yourself away. You're supposed to desire heaven enough, amen, to give yourself away. Amen. And commit yourself to follow Jesus all the days of your life. We're living in the last days, and I'm astounded and taken back by many of my brethren who seem to be asleep at the wheel. People with platforms to preach to thousands who can't seem to find a message appropriate for people living in the last days. The message is about this day and as if time is going to go on forever. And yet all the signs of the time tell us that His coming is near, as the Scripture said, even at the doors. That's incredibly close to the coming of Jesus. Amen. How many know we're incredibly close to the coming of Jesus? Amen. The very fact that people are saying, where's the sign of His coming for ever since our fathers slept? That is a sign of His coming. Amen. The very fact that there's an apostasy taking place. That is a changing and a moving away from the faith that was once delivered. Is a sign, a definite, definitive sign that His coming is very soon. The trouble that is in our world is a sign of His coming. And yet we've talked about that so long that people are turning a deaf ear. Even with tsunamis like we saw a few years ago. Even with the weather developing more severely. Even with global warming. Even with the ozone layer breaking down. Even with the prophecies that say men will be scorched by the sun. And grievous sores will break out on their bodies during the tribulation. And we're in a situation now where the very layer that filters the infrared rays is breaking down over our planet, setting up the very plagues of the end time. And you know what we're doing? We're running to and fro, like Daniel said. Seal up the book till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. That means we're so busy about our business, we're hardly taking notice of the times. And it doesn't help when there are not people in pulpits that discern the times. Because no one blows a trumpet in Zion. No one sounds a warning. Among the tribes of Israel who pledged themselves to follow King David and to fight against any enemy were the sons of Issachar, from the tribe of Issachar. From all the other tribes of Israel who, after Saul's demise, came to rally around David and stand with him, they committed their men of war. They call them David's mighty men of valor in Scripture. And they did great feats that warriors do. It talked about in 1 Chronicles 12, where we're going to read this one verse of Scripture. It talked about people coming that were good with the sling. And people coming that were great with the bow and the arrow. And people that were valiant men in battle that drew the sword from all the other tribes and rallied around David. These were men ready to hit the battlefield and to fight. And amazingly, in verse 32... this particular group of people came to rally around David, and they were vital to victory, because you have to have more than a desire to fight and win. You have to have discernment. Everybody say discernment. And if there's any, I'm not talking about the gift of discernment. There is no gift of discernment. There is a gift of the Spirit called a gift of discerning of spirits, to tell what spirit is in operation. For no marvel if Satan himself manifests himself as an angel of light. How can you tell? There's a gift within the Holy Spirit that He manifests called, amen, the gift of discerning of spirits. I've heard of the gift of discernment. There is no gift of discernment. Amen. Discernment comes as a process of maturing in the Lord. Can you say amen? And in His Word. For strong meat belongs to them that are of, listen, full age, that by reason of the exercise of their senses are able to discern between good and evil. And believe me, that's not as apparent as you think it might be. The devil is not going to come to you in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork and a long pointy tail. Can you say, man, no marvel if Satan be transformed as what? An angel of light. And listen to how he uses religion and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Can you say, man? Satan has agents today in the church of Jesus Christ bringing error unchecked because of an attitude that seems to be pervasive within the church, and that is that loving one another means letting error literally flourish without anyone contesting it, because we would be divisive if we did. That's an incredible lie from hell. Can you say amen? One of the reasons your health insurance premiums are so high is because doctors that see another doctor, a surgeon, come inebriated and know that he shouldn't be doing what he's doing will not tell on him because of a camaraderie in the medical profession. And that's been documented. Amen. A man can botch an operation down in Miami and go up to Virginia and open his practice and continue because this doesn't follow him. And I'm going to tell you something, amen, it's not just the high cost of health insurance. If you ever need to go under the knife, you need someone capable. Can you say amen? Well, listen, in the pulpit, there's far more at stake than you being crippled in your body or whether or not you're going to live or die. It means where you're going to spend eternity in heaven or whether you're going to spend it in hell. And I make a demand on the preacher that's preaching to me. He better not have an ulterior motive that I can see. He better not come to the pulpit with a hidden agenda. If he doesn't care enough for my soul to tell me the truth, whether I give or not, or whether I come back to his church or not, I do not want to hear him preach on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? I do not want to hear someone that is reading everybody else's books and hasn't picked up this book after prayer so that God can give him a message from his own heart for his people. Can you say amen? I don't want to ever hear a preacher preach that is afraid to speak the same things that Jesus said in his generation to our generation. Because Christ doesn't change. God doesn't change. He doesn't change himself to accommodate the times that we're living. The Word of God is not meant to be changed to fit us. Hallelujah. The Word of God is meant to alter us to fit God's standard. Can you say amen? Now you're clean through what? The Word that I've spoken. Listen, for God's Word to clean you, it's got to prune you. And it's got to prune me. And that's not a bad thing. Amen. It's spring and I see people out doing most horrible things to their plants. Amen. Last night I had literally attacked a hibiscus plant. And I cut that sucker halfway down. But you know what's going to happen now? Amen. All that deadness is gone and all that wasn't bringing blossoms is gone. And I'm telling you, that thing is going to bring forth and that thing is going to blossom and begin to pray and seek the face of God and get their own heart set on fire. And that begins to reach out and touch other people. You can have every witnessing plan in the world, but there's nothing like fire to beget fire. Somebody say fire begets fire. Jesus said, I came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And with fire. Amen. Listen, we need that presence of God that is so manifest in our own life that other people are drawn to that presence. And take notice that there's something about you. There's something about me. And it's not just because we're trying to keep His commandments along and do our Christian duties. There's something glowing. There's something burning on the inside of our hearts and souls. Something motivating us. Hallelujah. I like what Vance Havner said. He said the salt hadn't just lost its savor. The pepper has lost its pep. Many people lost their enthusiasm about the things of the Lord. Amen. Listen, folks, we need to get it back. God is on the throne today. He's ready to move today. In the nations of the world that have opened their heart and stand in awe of His grace, there are mighty revivals taking place. Here in America, we've been preached and preached and preached and preached until we've lost sight of the glory of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Our souls have been sealed for heaven by the Holy Ghost. That's something to shout about, not just now, but throughout all eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, it's not just the liver shiver you get or don't get. The highest work of the Holy Ghost is not to give you a liver shiver. The highest work of the Holy Ghost is to reproduce Jesus inside of you and me and to seal us for eternity. God's mark of authenticity is the abiding presence of the Lord within our lives. And you hath He sealed, marked, branded is the Greek word. Unto the day of redemption, that He might preserve you blameless unto the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. What a God we serve. Among all of these warriors and soldiers were the sons of Issachar. And they brought their own expertise to these men of war and these men of battle. But their weaponry was different. It was discernment. Everybody say discernment. Do you understand the difference between discerning of spirits, which is a gift, and discernment, which is a process of maturing in the Lord until you can actually not only see good and determine good from evil without, but you can actually see it within yourself. Amen? You get to the place that you know when you're doing something to get an applause and when you're doing something out of compassion, expecting nothing in return. You begin to discern the good and evil in yourself. In the Old Testament, it got muddled, didn't it? The Bible said, woe to those, and supposed to be ministering and showing Israel the right way. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. No discernment. And put light for darkness and darkness for light. Again, no discernment. Amen? The sons of Issachar were different. 1 Chronicles 12:32, and said, in amongst of all of these men of valor, all of these men of war, all of these soldiers that are committed to him, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. I like the paraphrase. It said, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives, and these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. You know what we need in America? We need a consensus among ministry that Christ is indeed coming soon, and that Christians should be taught to live their lives in the light of the second coming. Amen. How many believe every minister, every pulpit in America should be bringing a message at various times concerning the soon coming of Jesus and what it means and what it takes to be ready for his coming? How many believe there should be a warning sounded from the pulpits of America? Warning against the time of deception. If we're in the last days, the Bible said some shall depart from the faith. The Spirit is very clear. He speaks concisely, expressly is the word that is used in the King James. That in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How many believe it is ministerially, absolutely responsible to tell God's people? We would be derelict in our duty if we read that scripture and do not warn God's people. The book of Ezekiel said, if you see an enemy coming that could threaten God's people in the camp and you're a watchman, he said to Ezekiel, son of man, I've set you, as I set every minister. See, you can't just be a preacher and have a healing ministry. You can't just and not have a warning ministry. You can't be exclusive in prophecy without giving a warning. You can't be exclusive in faith and say, I only preach faith. There's nobody in the Bible that only preached healing. Nobody in the Bible that only preached faith. Everybody in the Bible preached what God told them to say. And if healing was what God was wanting to accomplish that day, they preached it. Amen. If faith was what God wanted to build, they preached it. If repentance is what God wanted, they preached that. Seven churches of Asia got seven different messages from one preacher. Thank God he told them what Jesus had to say. And when they got through hearing the message, they heard what the Spirit said unto the church. And some of it was tough stuff. Amen. But all of it was truth. It's amazing that we're in a day when we can teach what Jesus taught and be labeled negative. I don't want to ever go to a doctor that is so positive he won't tell me the truth. If I need radical surgery to remove a cancerous growth and healing doesn't come, I will certainly submit myself to the surgery to get rid of that. And anybody that's been up all night with a toothache, you will certainly submit yourself to a dentist in his Novocaine. Can you say amen? Amen. All it takes is 24 hours until you're ready for some help. Amen. You forget about the cost, and you forget about the day off from work, and you forget about everything, even your dread of dentists. After a while, you say, I want that sucker out. Get that bad boy out. Can you say amen? Amen. Seriously. I want the truth. You know why? Because truth is not going to hurt me if I love God. Truth is not going to hurt you if you love God. Can you say, man, I've been labeled a hard preacher just because I preach the truth. I preach things that are not normally preached sometimes. And I preach it because it's in the book. And because Jesus said it. And the apostles said it. And the faith is not built on a new age blend where preachers are trying, amen, to fit what is socially acceptable and politically correct. The gospel is built upon the foundation of the apostles. This is the foundation for the gospel. If the foundations be destroyed, the Old Testament said, what shall the righteous do? The righteous stand because of firm foundations. We have a foundation for our faith, and it is the unalterable, inerrant Word of God that has come to us through the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Himself being the chief stone of the corner. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. J. Vernon McGee may not excite you, turn over your honey bucket, but God took His simple truth from the Scripture to the nations of the world year after year, and people came to know Christ as their personal Savior just from a very monotone Bible teacher. Pentecostals are looking for a liver shiver, and we're following just about any kind of error going as long as we feel good in the process. Honey, we need to get past this me and my need attitude and say, Lord, we want truth. If it hurts, it hurts. If it prunes, it prunes. But the end result will be we will be the children of our Father, and we'll be the people who are walking in the light in the day of darkness. Can you say amen? How many want truth today? I remember the lyrics. Well, let me just read this. Jesus chided the Pharisees for their lack of discernment. Matthew 16, they didn't recognize their Messiah. They knew all the scriptures concerning Him. When He walked on the scene, they refused to see. They couldn't discern. And then they tried to find some way of tripping Him up. And one of the ways was they demanded a sign. If you're Him, you show us a sign. And they didn't do it to find truth. They were just trying to show Him up as a charlatan and a liar. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, Matthew 16, 1 through 4, and tempting desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the sign? We're all right without winning souls. We're all right without prioritizing the kingdom. We're all right. We're all right. We're all right being unfruitful. We're all right without a heart to worship. We're all right. Our kids are lost and our tears are dry, but we're all right. My bills are paid. My body's better. How many in this room are ready for revival? That's a call from the Lord. How many? Raise your hand. You want revival? It's going to take a truth. It's going to take a truth. We're going to have to discern some things. Amen. On the way in here this morning, I came by the Kingdom Hall. And I'm going to tell you, the rain didn't dampen nothing. That thing is wall-to-wall automobiles. They're not going to miss it. Can you say, man, they're in falsehood and blindness, but at least they're committed to what they believe. They got the wrong belief, but they're committed to what they believe. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There's a Mormon church near us. It looked like a big old... Amen. Listen, those boys are out on those bicycles. They're knocking on doors. They got the wrong gospel, but they're committed to what they believe. Can you say, man, do you understand what I'm telling you this morning? Amen. In Plant City, Florida, there's a Kingdom Hall that looks like it holds several thousand people for conventions. Amen. Those people are very, very wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. That parking lot is wall to wall, and it don't matter if it's cold or rainy. It don't matter if it's a holiday and everybody's barbecuing. They're in that place. Can you say, why are they there? Because they're committed to what they believe. Can you say, amen? You know where the commitment begins to break down? Do you want to know where it breaks down to where we if it's convenient, we do it. If it's not, we don't. You know where it breaks down? It breaks down in many Christians circles, where there's not a show or a showman in the pulpit, where all we offer is Jesus and Him crucified and the unadulterated Word of God and an opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. Can you say amen? Not to watch other people put on a worship program or a show, but to worship from our heart. That's where the commitment breaks down. Can you say amen? Listen, we need a revival right here among ourselves. It's not the other churches. It's us that need to make some changes. And if you have it in your heart to make them, God will send it right here. But without revival, I can't do you any good. I can't take this church anywhere unless hearts begin to cry out to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to be your full-time preacher again. But it's going to take, amen, fruitfulness in this ministry to accomplish that here. Can you say amen? Without souls, I could just preach till I retire. Come down, deliver my 30-minute message, go home, forget the whole thing. I'm just not wired that way. I can't stand here and admit defeat. I can't stand here and say, oh God, it's okay. Let's just relax and wait on Jesus. No, I want to be about my Father's business. I feel a sense of urgency. Fire begets fire, and I don't want the fire to go out in me. Can you say amen? Do you want? I don't want the lampstand to be taken from my ministry, Terry. Can you? Being theologically correct but spiritually unfruitful will not do the work of the kingdom. How many in this room again want revival here in this place? How many are willing to put yourself in the center of God's will? Don't think about anyone else but yourself today and say, Lord, stir me. Show me your hand if you want God to stir you today. Shalamanita. Yeah, that you're stirred about the idolatry. You're stirred about the compromise. You want to be about your Father's business. Hallelujah. You want to be moved this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you think it's time? We got stirred about something other than our felt needs, Sister Venable. There's a world that's damned and going to hell out there. And the church needs to be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. When people walk in here, they need to see a white hot church on fire for God. And I believe there's people in here that God is stirring. I don't know how to end this service, but to tell you that if this fire goes out in me, I don't want to preach anymore. I don't want to ever approach a pulpit without any hope of revival. I don't want to ever stand behind the sacred desk and just try to make people smile on Sunday morning. Amen. Are you listening to me? I want to see people repent. I want to see people get right. I want to see people get rid of bad attitudes. I want people to get a right spirit inside of them. Can you say amen? So that sinners can be converted. Hallelujah. It all starts with us. David said, get me right, and other people are going to get right. Hallelujah, but it starts with me, not them. Hallelujah. Do you understand what time it is? Do you discern the times? Sunday after Sunday, souls are unconcerned about eternity. I'm concerned about the unconcerned. I'm concerned about the lack of conviction. I'm concerned about those who are so at ease in Zion. That the majority of our prayer life is for my job, my money, and my body. The souls are immaterial. What can God do? How can He keep just giving us these little things that are going to pass when this body drops? My God in heaven, are judgments falling? You bet they are. You bet they are. They're falling. Amen. God is exposing sin in high places. Leaders of evangelical associations are being exposed because God is throwing back the covers on this thing. We can't sit back and let judgment not come to the house of God and let these conditions exist. Sickness is coming into God's house like it's never come into God's house with more faith being taught than it's ever been taught. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and have enough of a manifest presence of God and a reverence for Him. Amen. That people are actually healed in this congregation. Can you say amen? Instead of casting out devils, we're referring people to Christian psychologists. Amen. Who got their degree at a secular school and are trying to blend it. Amen. With that the only anointing can truly do. So after years of sowing into us, the Lord stands this morning and says, now what do I get in return? Hallelujah. If I can't give my all, I don't want to I don't even want to preach. But Sister Venable, I believe in revival in my generation. There are still those who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, just let it play. It's our last song. You can leave when Jesus said, because the laborers are few. People who can get past themselves long enough to share God's vision for souls. And we can be Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost, operating gifts of the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you where God's going to pour that holy oil. And frankly, whether they talk in tongues or not is immaterial to Him as long as they preach the gospel. Do you understand me this morning? God's going to pour holy oil up on a church and a pulpit where Christ is preached so that souls can come to Jesus. And this can be such a church. How many believe this can be such a church? Anyone in here believe this can be such a church? Raise your hand if you believe this can be such a church. See, there's no reason. We're not full of hypocrites. There's not many of us, but we're not full of hypocrites. There are people here that really love God. We've just got busy and satisfied. And there are anointings that come down in here that ought to make a difference. And God's waiting for the change. Mashallah bakisala manata. God's waiting for the repentance. So that He can send the revival. I repent this morning in sackcloth and ashes. If I had sackcloth, I'd put it on and preach in it today. I repent of the times that I was so easily distracted from what the Lord had just said. So powerful and wonderful. And some little incident pulled me completely from everything God said. Took my mind and heart down another avenue. I repent of conversations that were not edifying. That didn't magnify Jesus so that souls could be encouraged in my own in the process. I repent of that drags down. The things of the flesh, the things of the world. Instead of the things of the Spirit and the things of God. Walking away from an interpretation that should have brought great change in my attitude in my life. And walking away with no change in either. Why should God bother continuing to say it if we're going to be so easily distracted by something? We need to get focused. When God says something, we need to zero in and right then and there make a quality decision. You understand what I'm saying? We've been given much, church. God has graced us as a little flock with so much good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told a woman Friday night, a young woman about to quit, tears streaming down her face, a young black woman, tough young woman, but broken. And I told her, don't ever make a decision when you're discouraged. And don't ever make a decision, a life decision, when you're angry. Let the anger subside, deal with it, manage it. Get over the discouragement. And then look at everything. You may make the same decision. But the chances of making a wrong decision when you're angry or discouraged. That's why so many people leave churches or leave marriages. Just take off running. angry or discouraged. You never make a life decision that's important when you're angry. You never make one when you're discouraged. Can you say amen? You manage the anger. You get your hope back. Then you go to God prayerfully and you can really be led of the Spirit. Glory to God. Well, I'm not angry and I'm not discouraged, but I'm concerned. And I have every right to be. And I'm not accusing. I'm telling you, I'm putting on my sackcloth and saying, Lord, don't let me miss what you're saying. I want it to impact my life. I want my life to begin to be shaped by what you're saying on Sunday. Can you say amen? And through your word. If it goes on the same, then I'm telling God, leave me alone. I'm happy where I'm at. Nothing's going to change. And you know what will happen? Eventually, it won't be that God won't anoint the message. Eventually, my ears will become dull of hearing. I'll hear it. I'll know it's true. But I'll walk out that door and the change won't come. Nothing will change. From Sunday to Sunday, no matter what God says, what the Holy Spirit says, nothing will change. When I walk out that door, my thoughts will go from what God just said to my job, my Adventure Island trip, my what's playing at the movies, my automobile being repaired, whatever it is that's on my agenda, that's where my mind's going to go. See, that's where we got to get focused and know how to bring our minds back and dwell on what God has said. I don't mean you can't do the other things, but it means you don't do them at the expense of what God has just said. Hallelujah. We've had much, my dear brother. There's a good plate in all those tapes you've got right there. In the right heart, those tapes can set people free, get people saved, stir people up, and bring revival. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Do you believe this word can heal actually and deliver? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not selling you nothing this morning. I'm not selling you a trinket. I'm not selling you something. I have no blessing to sell. What I'm offering you money can't buy. It's priceless. I'm in this for souls and your soul. I'm not in it for the money, the silver and the gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray for a softened heart? Could you possibly utter that prayer today? Do you think it's soft like it once was? Do you think it's tender? Do you think there's a tear for your eye on any Sunday morning? God's going to do something here. This thing's turning. This land means nothing without the anointing. This building means nothing without the anointing. Without fruitfulness, this pulpit means nothing. Without a lampstand, it's sounding brass. It's all tinkling cymbal. Glory under the boko shalabadi yadadamala salabanete. Hilabakisona, leyalanaboko sata, shalabadi indendabakone, mindaraboro shalabada, knowing the time that it's high time. Halabashi, Shalabaniteke, Shalamogo, Ukalababa, Ikanabasite, Alabada, Halabakita, Alabajita Tadabaho Sandaba. I looked out the window this morning and I discerned there was a storm coming. Halabakisa, can I discern the spiritual storm? Can I discern that? Kilabakosha, Shalabadita Tadadama, Nina Dabada, Set yourself to seek the Lord. Set yourself to seek the Lord. I've been praying for a young woman that was here last Sunday that without deliverance will probably die like my brother-in-law died of methamphetamines. I've stood over a casket and looked down at a bloated body that a man that stood 1 month earlier in a church service and so-called pledged his heart to Jesus and then went out and partied with a prostitute and died of a drug overdose. Honey, I'm telling you, we need a revival in the church. We need a revival in the church. We need something that breaks the yoke. We need something that brings the change. You can't just pray with the preacher and follow your sin and escape the destroyer. I was angry. My soul was stirred. My heart was troubled. No words of comfort from a pulpit could comfort me because I looked at a soul that, as far as I know, busted hell wide open and no one laid it to heart. Everyone sued it over and the living were there and said, if he can go to heaven and die in sin, then I can go to heaven and die in sin. Is there no one stirred in Zion? Is there no one jealous for truth in Zion? Tired of going to funerals where no one is concerned about dying. You've been to them. Your last breath can be drawn in sin and rebellion against a God that you don't love, don't fear, and don't serve. But you end up in heaven anyway. What a lie from the pit of hell. What a damning, damnable heresy. It's heresy. It's not just my bad. It's heresy. It's heretical. It's not what the Bible teaches at all. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Where is the fear of God? The reverence for ministry. What a joke. What a joke. We went through a hyper-casualness at one state. Somebody said, I wouldn't allow nobody to call me reverend. Well, how are they going to take you seriously if they don't believe you're a man of God? I don't want to be behind this desk. If I'm not a man of God, I don't want to be behind this desk. You shouldn't be listening to me if I'm not a man of God. Can you say amen? Sure, of course, I don't want to listen to anyone who isn't a man or woman of God. I want to revere those whom God has sent. I want to give honor where honor is due. Submit yourself to them that have the rule over you because they watch for your soul. I'm not talking about a dictatorial authority from a pulpit. I'm talking about the authority of God's word when it comes forth under the anointing. We should bow to it as if God himself had said it to us because there's no difference. His word in my mouth is no less authoritative than it is in his mouth if it's coming from his book. But we're so used to preachers and preaching. Just so doggone used to hearing it. We can walk away from it with no change. No brokenness. No repentance. And that all adds up to no revival. No revival. Same old, same old. Thirty minutes past the doors, everything else takes precedence. It's gone. God wants to address it. He knows the pressure and the pace of the last days. God wants to address it. He loves us too much to let us alone. Are you ready for change? Is your heart desiring to get serious about your commitments and your responsibilities? This is not everybody, but you know what I'm talking about. What is the topic of conversation this afternoon before practice? What's it going to be about when we sit around and have our coffee today? What is important? What is going to be flowing? Anything God said last week, will it even come to mind? Anything the Spirit spoke this morning, who will even retain what the Spirit said this morning? Who could even verbatim of us bring it back right now? It's so hard, isn't it, to really grasp it? Will you join hands? Let's pray together. Not mad at anyone in here, but I am stirred. Last night as I studied my soul, I just began to be stirred. I said, Lord, please help my congregation share this vision with me. Help the people that haven't made up their mind to commit to something while there's still time to commit to it. Not live our life irresponsibly. You've never heard me complain. Working a hard labor job. I come in here with a praise. I don't come in here telling you about what a week I had. How tough it is to try to wear two hats. I never complain to my wife. Rarely ever do I come home. I'll tell her about one bad day, but I am not a chronic. I don't come home saying, oh, honey, I have it so rough. No, I just thank God for the strength and the health to work, the privilege to preach. I love the Lord. I love Him. Shalamakina moshuloboriandaramatitana masata. If you come back to service tonight, what you're going to hear is a result of over 30 years of personal walking with God in ministry and suffering and testing. But God has been good, and He's given me insight into Himself and into His Word. If you take it to heart, it can change your life. Hallelujah. But it's worth something. It's worth something. It came to you with cost. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This is not something I do on the side. This is not something I do just because I'm a preacher and I need to be down here. God put His hand on me. And there's been a cost. And what you hear from this pulpit is valuable. You understand what I'm telling you? It's valuable. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about what the ministry that God has so graciously given me through my weaknesses and through my trials and through my valleys. When I pick up the Bible, I see Jesus. I don't just see principles. I see a person. I don't just see doctrine. I see truth. And I see it so clear, sometimes it just blinds me, amen, in the glory of it. And I want everybody to get as excited as I am about it sometimes. And I know that's asking too much sometimes. But folks, I'm telling you, the Word of God is so mighty. He sent His Word to heal. He sent His Word to deliver. He said it to impact your life and your heart. Hallelujah. And I remember when it did. Glory to God, I remember when it did. I remember when one mighty Sunday would bring people back to church and we saw the fields. We caught the vision. We were on fire. We came in with enthusiasm and excitement because we said, boy, God is touching my life. God is making changes in me. Hallelujah. Wow, God moved last week. Wow, God moved last night. I remember that. When He was able to do it. Everybody do like this in your ears with close. See, your ear gets dull of hearing. It don't matter what God says anymore. I'm going to get the wax of the flesh out. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. What if Ephesus had repented and returned to their first love? That church would have stood strong, passed every test. But the Bible said, and history bears it out, Ephesus lost their lampstand. And that mighty, mighty church that had such impact came to naught and eventually came to nothing. What if Laodicea had repented in sackcloth and ashes, rearranged their value system and put the things of the kingdom above the things of this world? Amen. Received His rebuke as an act of His love, His chastisement as something to bring them back where He could keep them. Amen. Laodicea would have had a mighty revival. Can you say amen? And they wouldn't have put the premium on their riches anymore. They would have got a hold of the true riches through discernment. They would have been able to see the true riches as Jesus and salvation and being sealed by the Spirit. And their premium wouldn't have been on, look at our gold and silver, we don't need anything. But look at our Savior, His cross and His blood. We have everything in Jesus Christ. What a change it would have made if they heard what the Spirit said to the church and gave heed. Can you say amen? What a difference it would make here. He speaks so mightily. I don't think I've ever been in a little church and heard God talk like this. He talks like we got potential to shake the world. And sometimes I say, I have to do a double take after an interpretation. He's got me thinking that the radio broadcast could touch nations out of a humble little station in North Florida and a humble little preacher in Tampa. Because my heart's burning, Sister Venable. It's burning. My heart's burning. I got heartburn, but it's Holy Ghost heartburn. And I thought, Lord, wouldn't it be glorious? Wouldn't it be an honorable thing to You, amen, to take a little nobody and a nothing church and begin to take the gospel to the nations through it, to take a handful of people that refuse to sit in lethargy, amen, that want our lives changed and want to see the lives of others changed and say, I'm going to put a lampstand right there just as mighty as the lampstand at Oral Roberts University or Christ for the Nations or anywhere else. There's a large gathering of people that want to see souls saved. How many believe the anointing here can be just as powerful as it is anywhere else to see lives touched for Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, stretch your hand this way. Amen. I don't know if we're going to stay here. We're going to sell it and move. But I know one thing. We ain't going to just sit here and perish. We're not going to sit here and slumber, Brother Terry. Hallelujah. I'd rather sell it, put the money in the bank and say, now, Lord, show us where the souls are. Hallelujah. I'd rather go back to the embassy suite, praise God, hallelujah, and just wait on the Lord than to sit here and perish. But God sent us here for this time, helped us to pay it off. And now I believe it's time for us to raise our eyes and look upon the fields. I don't know if He's going to give us a church building. I don't know what He's going to do or how He's going to do it. But I know one thing, He's not going to leave us just sitting here. Glory to God, because He stirred my soul. He's stirring my soul. I've been praying every day this week for a young lady's deliverance from drugs, methamphetamines, that her mind would come alive, that the walls would fall. She was in our service and she didn't even think about God. She didn't even have a godly thought on Easter morning. But I had a thought about God wanting to set somebody free. And I just will not sit back. I want a yoke-breaking anointing here. Hallelujah. That we can bring strongholds down. I don't care how bad messed up the mind is by drugs, that we can see strongholds fall, that there can be a delivering anointing in this place. Amen. That we bring every thought into captivity, those thoughts that Satan owns and defies us, that we can't even turn the mind, let alone the heart around. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not my preaching or my articulating of my diction and words. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke in this room. Can you say amen? It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. I want that yoke breaking anointing to be flowing in this place. How many will share that vision with me and not just leave it all on me and say, Lord, stir me. Give me focus with my preacher. Hallelujah, to see people set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for me through the week. Pray for me on Sunday morning that utterance may be given unto me. That don't mean that I'm not anointed to preach and you got to pray it on me. It means that utterance, that my words will find their mark as God anoints them. Hallelujah. I want to see that young woman set free. I want to see the addict set free. I want to see people that have sat under this word, impervious to it, come under conviction, want to be free and come to an altar and do business with God and get up changed. That's the kind of church I went to when I got saved. That's the kind I was healed of cancer in. I don't want to just do this until I get my Social Security and maybe do a little evangelizing and just kind of ease into retirement. I don't want that. I want the greatest years of my ministry to be ahead of me. The greatest impact to be just ahead. I want that best wine that he saved for the last. How about you? Hallelujah. Halabakosu Yisha Lalabakosanda Dabadete Brishalabakosanda Daba Lesha Andadabasitia. Hallelujah. How many believe we can still have a revival based on truth? Unadulterated biblical truth. Mikalabasota Daba. How many believe there's a truth that can literally set people free? How many want to be discerning of the times that we might know what we ought to be doing in these last days? Hallelujah. How many want to be about your daddy's business? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Fathers, we leave here today. We leave with stirred hearts. Help us recapture the vision. Help us to hold it dear to our heart. Help us to run with it so that your work can get accomplished before you come. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in the days and weeks ahead, help us to make some of the hard decisions that may stir up our comfort zones, but will put us in a position to where we can be truly led by the Spirit of God. Thank you for moving the way you did today. Thank you, Lord, it isn't business as usual at the Holy Church of God. And everyone that loves him said amen and amen. Shake hands with